We're reading from the writings of Bala Sulam. The article is The Peace in the World, where in the title, Practical Difficulties in Determining the Truth.
Yes, we're learning here by what we can come closer to our correction, to the end of correction, to the state which is above our life, our world, to the ideal state that we could come closer to it by correction of the four qualities: Chesed Emet, Tzedek Shalom, mercy, truth, justice and peace. Truth is, we are in it, but to know how to use them correctly, and if we'll use them correctly, then we'll be able to truly come to the end of our correction. So, let's see. Because we should know this. It's good for us to know this. We see these things, especially not in our private inner work, as much as we see it in our human society. How much it is in these four qualities, either for these four attributes, either for the positive or for the negative, and fulfilling it or not. And accordingly, actually causes it all sorts of the following states, either for the good or for the bad. So, let's see.
Title: Practical Difficulties in Determining the Truth. When we discuss good attributes in theory, there is certainly no better attribute than the attribute of truth.
Good attributes to go by right means that those that we could take them and use them, not something philosophical, theoretical. Rather, that we can use our corrections in order to reach the best degree possible, the best state possible in our life. So he says, we have no more than the degree of truth. Why?
This is because all the good that we have defined above in the relationship between the individual and the collective,
that the connection between them will be as good as possible,
is when the individual gives and fully plays his parts toward the collective. And also takes his share from the collective justly and honestly.
Meaning that there is this mutual understanding between the collective and the individual, between man and the society, and that they understand one another and support one another and influence one another, supply one another, everything that's needed, that there's truly a balance between them.
All this is but the truth. But the drawback is that, in fact, the collective does not accept this attribute at all. Thus, the practical difficulty in the above-mentioned truth is proven from itself. There is some drawback and a cause here that makes it unacceptable to the collective. We must examine what is that drawback.
Meaning that we have a difficulty, a hardship to accept this rule of the truth, the correct relation between the society and the individual, that we cannot accept this rule. But if we could, if each one would worry for the collective, and the collective would worry for all the individuals, the connection between them would be in a nice, correct, mutual manner, then surely there'd be nothing better than we could arrange our life such in this world. And surely along with this we can add that in such an event we would reveal the Creator dwelling among us, because the relations among us then would be open and nice. Yes.
When you closely examine the above-mentioned truth from the perspective of its practical feasibility, you will necessarily find it vague and complicated, and it is impossible for the human eye to scrutinize it. Since the truth requires that we equalize all the individuals in the collective, so they receive their share according to their labor, no more and no less. This is the one true basis which cannot be doubted. For it is certain that anyone who wishes to enjoy the labor of his friend, his acts are against the above mentioned reason and clear truth.
Meaning here surely we encounter the ego of each and everyone, and how much no individual can do something for the other, and he's ready to relinquish everything from lack of choice, that he's ready to do something for the other to receive from him and see something worthwhile in it. But other than that, nobody wants to do anything for the other. And that's called that he doesn't want at all. And such to determine the form of truth in the relations between us is impossible. Not possible. So what do we do?
But how do we think that we can scrutinize that truth in a way that is acceptable to the collective? For example, if we evaluate something according to the apparent labor, meaning according to the number of hours, and compel each one to work an equal number of hours, we will still not discover the attribute of truth at all. Moreover, there is an evident lie here for two reasons. The first is the physical side, and the second is the mental side of the worker. That is because by nature, the power to work is not equal in each and every person. One person in the society labors in 1 hour of work due to his weakness, much more than another who works 2 hours or more. And there is also a psychological matter here. Since he who is very lazy by nature exhausts himself in 1 hour more than his friend in 2 hours or more, according to the perspective of the evident truth, we should not compel one part of society to labor more than the other part of the for the satisfaction of the needs of their lives. But, in truth, the naturally strong and nimble in society benefit from the labor of others and exploit them maliciously against the attribute of truth, for they labor very little compared to the weak and lazy in society. And if we also consider the natural law taking after the majority, then such a truth that takes the number of hours of apparent work as a basis is completely infeasible, since the weak and the lazy are always the vast majority in society, and they will not allow the nimble and strong minority to exploit their strength and labor.
That's called that there is the brave in quality and quantity. And there's always this tenseness between them and misunderstanding. But it's not a matter of misunderstanding or suspense. It's a matter of difference in nature, that there is the lazy and those work harder, and then there's the wise, and then so not so much, the ordinary. And ultimately, in our society, we reach a state that managers are those who have, to begin with, force, qualities to advance things, to scrutinize things, all sorts of such qualities. And the masses are such, more passive and ready to go after those same ones who overcome and come to manage them. But there's not what to do. This is from the side of nature. Yes, the matter is not to correct the nature. We cannot be equal in any case. This comes to us to begin with. In the end, we reach a state that specifically this difference between us operates to our benefit, for the benefit attainment of the Creator, and to resemble Him. But in the meantime, we need to scrutinize, though, in what manner we can be tied to one another in order to bring from these connections between us, not suspense that brings us to wars and revolutions and such of unpleasant, not good events like we see now in the world, again and again. Rather, that we reach a state that we can enjoy from the difference between us, that, oh, he is a fool and he is wise and he is strong and he is weak, and one is successful, let's say, by his luck and the other one, no, and so on. And there is a birth in such a family, in such a nation, in some place upon the earth that's unique, and so on and so on. How will we make that all these differences, that we reveal them from nature's side, yes, that they come to us from the Creator, that we don't fight against these differences, rather understand that in the correct use between them, we'll be able to specifically reach the greatest correction. They will take from each and every one, both the strong and the weak, from the smart and the foolish, both the successful by the luck and also the one who's not successful. How do we take from each and every one a collective benefit for all, such that for everyone will be the best possible state? That's the question. Not to bend the reality, the nature that we were born in, rather the opposite. How could we connect between us in order that in the connection between us we'll reach a state that is the best for everyone? How is that possible? Not one on the account of the other, rather specifically in such a manner that the Creator created it, and we don't know how to take advantage of this in all its difference, all its changes. We reach the best possible state. As you see, that the above mentioned basis, which is the labor of the individual on the condition of the evident truth, and with it the majority in the society, is completely impractical, since it cannot be examined and evaluated in any way. Thus you find that the attribute of truth has no practical ability to organize the path of the individual and the path of the collective in an absolute and satisfactory manner. Also, it is completely insufficient for organizing life at the end of the correction of the world.
According to the degree of truth, according to the requirement of truth, that we have to be connected with com- complete supplies for our life. We cannot reach it, organizing our life this way. So how do we reach that?
Furthermore, there are even greater difficulties here because there is no clearer truth than nature itself. And it is natural that each and every individual feels himself in the world of the Creator as a sole ruler, that all the others were created only to ease and improve his life without feeling any obligation whatsoever to give anything in return. In simple words, we will say that the nature of each and every person is to exploit the lives of all other people in the world for his own benefit. And all that he gives another is only out of necessity. Even then, there is exploitation of others in it, but it is done cunningly, so his friend will not notice it and concede willingly. The reason for this is that the nature of every branch is close to its root. Because man's soul extends from the Creator, who is one and unique, and everything is his, likewise man, who extends from him, feels that all the people in the world should be under his own governance and for his own private benefit. This is an unbreakable law. The only difference is in people's choices. One chooses to exploit people by obtaining lowly lusts, and one by obtaining governance, while the third by obtaining respect. Furthermore, if one could do it without much effort, he would agree to exploit the world with all three together: wealth, governance, and respect. However, he is forced to choose according to his possibilities and capabilities. This law can be called the law of singularity in man's heart. No person escapes it. Rather, each and every one takes his share in that law, the great according to their size, and the small according to their size. Thus, the above law of singularity in the nature of every person is neither condemned nor praised, as it is a natural reality and has a right to exist like all parts of reality. And there is no hope to eradicate it from the world or even slightly blur its form, just as there is no hope to eradicate the entire human race from Earth. Therefore, we will not be lying at all if we said about this law that it is the absolute truth. Since it is undoubtedly so, how can we even try to ease one's mind by promising him equality with all the people in the collective? Nothing is further from human nature than this. While one's sole inclination is to soar higher above the whole collective. Thus, we have thoroughly clarified that there is no real possibility to bring good and joyful conducts to the life of the individual and the life of the collective by following the attribute of truth in a way that will ease the mind of each and every individual so he may completely agree to it, as it should be at the end of correction.
Meaning we see here that we're standing before a problem which is unsolvable because a person cannot, by his nature, to be above nature and to agree to what is enrooted in him, the will to receive, wanting to enjoy everything, and is told, you have to rise above that. How can a person rise above what he is? How can you demand such a thing from a person? We saw that they tried to bend people in different shapes, like in Russia, to make of him a bestowing man, about thinking about the collective. We see it doesn't work. You can't. All these things have already dozens of years, they're gone from the world, except for somewhere in North Korea, they don't even talk about it. Where these things are, there's nothing real here. But still, from the perspective of nature itself, this law exists. We have to be above our ego, connected together with complete wholeness, complete participation. So how can we connect these two opposite things? Our nature, which is the opposite of connection, and the thought and feeling of the other as itself. Still, we have to reach such a result. In what way? By what? Neither hunger or torments or anything. They don't help people. And we've seen that from our experience throughout history. We are incapable of reaching that. And no Marx or Lenin theories, or I don't know, today's socialists cannot cause people to come closer to each other. It's only our ego that works and acts. Where do we nonetheless take the strength to reach the right combination between humans? Not something fantasized, not theoretically, in practice, where everyone can stand this. And everyone can enjoy it. Not weak and the strong, the wise and the fools. Everyone. How can we come to this state where everyone is pleased and capable of holding equality maybe, or connection maybe, but the state where we all feel ourselves receiving fulfillment by their vessels? It's a problem. Well, let's see what's going on here. Moscow 1.
Можно ли на то, что здесь написано, посмотреть с той точки зрения, что именно слабые и неразвитые члены общества?
And we look at what written here, according to the point of perspective that the weak and those behind in society can reveal in the aspect of truth?
How come? Why should the weak or the ones who are not developed enough show us the direction of the advancement for society? How can they? First of all, they don't have it. They agree to work. Tell them what to do in order to earn their bread. They will, because they need the bread. That's it. But nothing more than that. They can't even plan their own work day for themselves. All kinds of things. We're talking about simple, the most simple people. All they can do is work in what they tell you, what you tell them to do. That's it. A bit above them also. So each one has his own level. And it's the same with the managers in the work. How can you, or the rules in your workplace, how can you demand the same supply from everyone? So how can they earn the same? from the perspective of truth, everyone should earn the same. This guy worked 2 hours, but for him it was like 8 hours for someone else. And this other guy, he worked according to his office. He used to manage thousands of people, but for his nature, that's normal. Are you paying the same? No, it's different. Why is it different? Why, if I was born smart and he's a bit less smart, so I deserve more than him, not less? Because my birth and my qualities don't depend on me. So why should I receive greater salary, greater compensation for that? But this is how it works in our world. You see it. Meaning, we cannot reach equality or social success if each one receives what he deserves by nature, the way he's built, in the degree of the intellect or the strength to keep on going, or physical strength, according to his qualities. How can we reach equality? We never reach equality between two people. Nothing is equal between two different people. So how can you make us a happy society? Not according to the rule of reception, if we measure each and everyone, but only by the law of bestowal. If we elevate, each one elevates himself above this egoistic force he has, then this way he can connect to everyone in his desire to bestow according to his ability to others. Then we can be connected and we become one society. And then, in this one society, as much as we're connected, we can bring all the goods to everyone for their enjoyment, what they need. Soon we'll see that. Okay, let's continue, Gilad.
So we're in the title, in the absence of the ability to establish the attribute of truth, they try to establish the basic attributes. Now let us turn to the remaining three attributes: mercy, justice, and peace. It seems that to begin with, they were created only to be used as support for the attribute of truth, which is very weak in our world. From here, developmental history began to climb its slow, straggler degrees in its progress toward organizing the lives of the collective. In theory, the whole society willingly agreed and took it upon themselves not to deviate in any way from the truth. But in fact, they conducted themselves completely opposite from the truth, as was agreed. Since then, it has always been the fate of truth to always be in the hands of the most deceitful and never in the hands of the weak and righteous, so they could be even somewhat assisted by the attribute of truth. When they could not establish the attribute of truth in the life of the collective, the exploited and the weak increased within society. And from here emerged the attributes of mercy and justice to do their actions in the conduct of society, since the existence of the whole society compelled the successful ones among them to support the straggling so as to not harm the society in general. Therefore, they behaved with them indulgently, meaning with mercy and charity. But it is only natural that under such conditions, the straggling and exploited proliferate until there are enough of them to protest against the successful and start quarrels and fights. From here emerged the attribute of peace in the world. Thus, all those attributes, mercy, charity, and peace, emerged and were born out of the weakness of truth. This is what caused society to divide into sects. Some adopted the attributes of mercy and charity, giving of their own possessions to others, and some adopted the attribute of truth, meaning what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. In simpler words, we can divide the two sects into constructors and destructors. Constructors are those who want construction, the benefit of the collective, for which they are often willing to give of their own possessions to others. But those who are naturally prone to destruction and recklessness were more comfortable clinging to the attribute of truth, meaning what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours, for their own benefit, and would never want to give up anything of their own to others without taking into consideration the risk to the well-being of the collective, for they are destructors by nature.
No questions. Well, PT-19.
Rav,
the more I learn, the more I hear the same things from you, I really emerge confused.
Why?
He writes for me, when they wouldn't be able to go by the path of truth, in the society is increasing all the weak.
The more you go with the public, the more you ruin the public. Because then people understand that they can work less, to give less, to be more, to put more of their own pressure on the mass, because the weak are the majority. So they can put pressure on the governments or kinds of organizations, and to get what they don't deserve, actually. What they should do is give society, because they're the majority, and we have these elections and all these false things. They can put pressure on the government because of their what they have, all they have, and receive what they don't deserve, according to the truth.
So how can you explain, like what he writes here, to go after the many, because the weak are always the largest amount in the society, and all comes from nature, as you said.
Yes, of course.
And the differences between us will operate to our benefit. How is that possible?
If we place everything we get from nature in its right way, in the right relation to the other group, so there are the wise ones, the smart, the strong ones, and there are the weak and the fools, the stupid, right? How can you connect everyone together so that everyone will be better off? Everyone will feel good, right? That's the question. In the meantime, this question still stands.
You don't feel in such a state that there was exploitation of the society?
What state?
That the stronger are exploiting the weaker? What's happening in your country?
Of course it is, but the solution is wrong.
What is the solution?
It's not by you following the majority. Nor is it from you following the strong and the rich.
So what is the solution?
We're going to learn the solution, how we can reach the solution. But until we make it, the society will not know any peace, tranquility, or balanced and good life.
So what you and Baal Salam are actually saying is that until everyone doesn't learn Kabbalah, seemingly, there won't be correction, we won't be able to do this at all.
They need to carry it out, and that's why it's called the final correction.
Nice, thank you.
What can we do?
Haifa 3.
Haifa 3.
How, according to Bala Sulam, we didn't kill each other yet? Because, according to the law of singularity, I exist, so I have to destroy everyone else, and that's it, right?
Destroy? No problem. Go right ahead. Some do wake up and start doing that until they are killed or secluded, or a person can't live without others. He nonetheless does need a society. There's no choice. The fact that he wants to be the manager, to be above everyone else, that too is not really for each and everyone. First of all, he can't, but also why do you want to manage billions of people? What kind of pressure it puts on me? Load on me. There's a problem, how to organize society that so that everyone feels good. In the meantime, we see with these four attributes how much we cannot, by these four attributes that are naturally in us, it's like 4 degrees, how we cannot, by them, we cannot manage ourselves. We talked about truth, we now talked about the quality of truth. Now we're going to talk about the quality of peace. In us, we do not have these qualities that we can develop and by them govern reality. That's why, because there is no choice after all our frustrations and a bitter experience in human history, we're going to reach a state that we have to get this force from above. From above. That's why only the wisdom of Kabbalah is what we all need. That's it.
Latin
12.
Buenos días, Rab. Está escrito que la cualidad de verdad, por un lado,
it's written that the quality of truth. On one hand, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. On the other hand, I need to connect with the quality of the friend. Is there some middle point that I can understand both these approaches?
Not yet, not yet. We're not talking about being able to do that. These four qualities cannot, you cannot live both in tranquility and each and everyone on his own to govern reality, society in the right way. At the end of this article, we'll see how we should organize ourselves. And this article is completely, how should I say it? It relates to society. Balasulam writes this because he's concerned how society, how humanity can exist, come closer to its correction, and so to enter a state where there's connection between everyone, because that's the final correction. That's why he explains this to us. He's not a socialist or engaging in society, human society. He's not a scientist in that or anything. He's just explaining to us from the perspective of the forces of nature. We have no choice. In a simple way, what we should do once we are in nature. This is the highest framework acting upon us. Okay, Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, just to understand what Bala Sulam described to us, in a corrected state, there is no room for mercy, truth, mercy, justice, and peace. Rather, only truth will exist.
No, in the corrected state, all these discernments have to take part, but each one in his style, in the way he considers or takes into account the other qualities. We're going to learn it. Don't jump ahead. Zichon too.
Hello, Rav. Good morning. I just want to scrutinize, if I understand correctly, the difficulties in measuring the quality of truth, but not really clear what quality of truth that he's talking about here.
Again, what the question is?
What is the correct quality of truth? He's saying we can't really measure it, right?
By our natural qualities, if we want to divide what each one needs, provide for each one what he demands naturally, we will never be able to give everyone what they're requiring, because it will be opposite to what others want. That's according to the quality of truth.
If I understand what he's writing here, he's saying the individual has needs to reach its whole function towards the collective, and also the collective towards the individual. That meaning each one receives what he needs, right?
Well, suppose this is the way it is. It's like socialists say, but they don't take into account that a person is an egoist, and he won't be able to do that. We should read what Baal HaSulam writes a few times. You will see what's hidden in these words. Much more. There's great wisdom here. Even though it seems to us that these are trivial things, and we understand this from our own life, but that's not correct. Give 3.
Здравствуйте, Рав. Скажите, пожалуйста, все, что здесь написано, мы должны раскрыть. У нас в десятке, когда
all that's written here about us, that we have to reveal in the ten, the ten helps the development of each and every one, and each one pushes the ten.
Incorrect. We don't need what you're saying according to what you're reading from one page in article to go to the group. Let's start observing this page. No, that's not the way to do it. We have the principles of a group that come to us from the articles of Rabash. This is what we do have to carry out. But these articles are general articles about society, about a person inside society, and we have to learn them in a theoretical manner. And then to see how we combine them with our actions in the group that we have from the articles of Rabash about society. That's it.
Нашу работу в десятке, но в конечном счете мы все это раскроем в десятке.
Meaning, we perform the work in the ten, but ultimately,
I don't know. If you're asking me, I don't know, and I don't want to know about that. I do according to what I have now. I don't plan a few steps ahead, because in the meantime, in these steps, I'm going to change as well, and I'll understand it correctly, and I'll do it correctly, differently. That's it. That's not the way to relate to things. It's not that I read something, so I'm going to go and do it. It's not me. It's in the ten. How can you allow yourself to do whatever you feel like in the ten? In the ten, you have commands of Baal HaSulam and Rabash that wrote them intentionally for you, for your ten. Not in any other way. It's not that now you, with your intellect, you start connecting all kinds of theories now and starting to realize them in your ten. No, you must not. Besides, what you're saying is incorrect. We'll read about it in a page or two. You're going to see how none of these attributes is possible to carry out. And how much humanity suffered wanting to exist, to live according to these qualities, to let go of things, to renounce things, to let the successful to govern reality and the weak ones below, or maybe the way it is naturally, or the opposite, and then you have revolutions. No, no, we must not do that. Okay. Fine. So,
info.
We have info. What would you bring us?
Hello, dear friends, beloved friends. We want to inform and remind everyone that and the framework of our preparation for the upcoming Congress, which is getting closer. We're going to have meetings of Arvut on Thursday, so beginning from tomorrow. 5:45 in the morning Israel time, and every subsequent Thursday after the morning lesson, everyone's invited to participate in our meeting. It's about 20-minute uplifting with joy, and it gives a sensation of warmness, opens up the hearts of all the friends. So repeat every Thursday after the morning lesson at 5:45 Israel time. Everyone is invited to participate in these meetings, preparation for the Congress. The announcement with details and how to connect and everything will be, go out right after the morning lesson. L'chaim, friends, back to you, Gilad.
Yes, and before we conclude, what is our schedule for today? 10 till 10:30 in the morning, there's going to be a recorded program of inner observation with Rav Lightman, then 10:30 until 11, a recorded program of news. Let's sing a song.
Time is near and we will see all people here in unity as one nation, as one whole in celebration and in song. We're not naive, it's not a dream. We suffered long enough to see there's no escape, nowhere to hide, no belief to be of God. This love between us all, forever in our hearts. This love between us all, forever in our hearts. This love between us all, forever in our hearts. So a light will come to shine. No pain, no sorrow recognize. And every heart will sing one song. And every melody as one. And so a light will come to shine. No pain, no sorrow recognize. And every heart we'll sing one song, and every melody as one. This love between us all, forever in